World, since we had to stop early yesterday because we didn't have our Capitan with us, we'll ask him to introduce the Mishnah, which we stopped at. Today's daf is daf mem hey, but our Mishnah is on daf mem dalet amud beit. Go for it, Sir Richard.
Can I unmute? There we go. Now I'm unmuted. Zuk the Halak Mishnah.
Aporim the Ailin the Hakfasim in An Ma'akvin the Etze. To throw in Seirim is a little bit strange because we don't have Musafim that have more than one Sawyer. So we'll see how we can fit that in later. But most take it out. So what is this referring to? The Gemara is going to ask, but clearly we're talking about some situation where we've got Musafim in which we bring Purim, Eilim, Kvasim, and there's a certain number. Do they all have to be there in order for any of them to be brought? So here it says they're not Ma'akiv, in a continuation of our Perek's theme of things that are not Ma'akiv, says Rabbi Shimon Omer, I've got news for you. If you have enough money to buy Parim Merubim, but you don't have enough to buy the Nisachim that would be required for those Parim, so even though we said that the Nisachim are not Ma'akev, however, it is necessary to use your money. If you could just afford one Par and Nisachim, bring one Par and Nisachim, and don't bring all of the Parim if you won't be able to bring the Sachim. Now, this is a very, very strange psak, because, I mean, it's fine that the Mishnah said, then basically the Not Ma'akvim Zedzeh implies that what? That if you don't have all of them, you bring whatever you can bring. That's what it means when it says in Ma'akvim Zedzeh. But he says, I want to go beyond that. I want to say that actually, you shouldn't bring whatever you can bring. You can only bring what you can afford to bring with Nisachim. So don't use your money on the Parim. Instead, use them on the Parim and the Nisachim. Now, the reason that this doesn't make any sense, at least on the surface, if you don't have a strong marker for it in the Torah, is because, as we know, we already said, Niskehem, Minchatam, Niskehem, Afilu Lamachar. So you could bring them at some other time. So it doesn't really make sense to say, don't bring the Purim, which if you don't bring them now, you're never going to be able to make up for it because of the klal of Varzmano Batel Korbano, as Gavi can actually conjure up with some flying sparks. So if you're going to lose the time to bring your Korban, you're not going to be able to bring it tomorrow. But if you didn't have the Nisachim, you would be able to bring the Nisachim tomorrow. So why not invest today in the mitzvah that you have to do today, which is the Purim, and then hopefully next week sometime you'll be able to get together in the Nisachim. But to give up on the Purim in order to bring your Nisachim immediately when that's not even Ma'akim doesn't seem to make sense. So Gemara, of course, is going to look for what the logic would be or what the Mokra and the Terah would be for this strange Shita of Rabbi Shimon. But first, let's define what exactly we are talking about when we say the Parim and the Kvasim and the Eilim, they're not Ma'akvim. Which Parim, which Kvasim? What are we referring to? If, I mean, as immediately makes you think of, yeah, that must be those massive number of Parim and Kvasim that we bring our Chag HaSukkot, and it's saying you can bring whatever you can bring, you can't bring all of them, doesn't matter, but that can't be about Sukkot. Yilema Dechag, doesn't it keep repeating in every one of them, Kimishpatam, or it says Kamishpat? You remember we have some variations in order to be Meramis, to Mem Yud Mem, to Mayim, but the bottom line is that every single day adds the extra Chiyav of Kamishpat. So it always says, Benisparam Kamishpatam. So basically, that would be telling us that you're absolutely could it be Ma'akev if you don't have all of your Musafim? So how could you say it's a Ma'akev? So what you must be referring to is where the Torah doesn't say specifically either Chukra or Kamishpatam or Vehayu. So you must be referring to those Elim and Kvasim and Parim of Rosh Chodesh or of Atzeret. When we say Atzeret, we mean, of course, we have to be very careful when we refer to Atzeret, because Atzeret could be referring either to the Korbonis that are brought with the Shtei HaLechem, but those are mentioned in Emor. Or it could be referring to Atzeret, the Korbonis that are brought as the Musaf of Shavuos, which, of course, is in Pinchas. So what you must be referring to is the Atzeret that's in Bamidbar, meaning in Parshas Pinchas, that is to say, the Musafim. However, when it comes to the Sukkim in Vayikra, well, now, those indeed would be Ma'akev, but that's not what we're referring to over here. So, when you say the Purim and the Kvasim, I understand. But when you say Elim, I do no longer understand. Because where do we have multiple Elim? You want to tell me about Rosh Chodesh or Atzeret that we just spoke about? I got bad news for you. It's only Ayel Echad. So how in the world could the Mishnah talk about Elim in the plural when there are no Elim in the plural? So that can't be what it's referring to. If we're talking about Atzeret in Torat Kohanim, we're referring to the Dinim of Shavuos, which are a different set of Korbanos that are brought in Vayikra, which has to do with the Shtei HaLechem, but that's their... can't be the Mishnah. The Mishnah says the Elim are not Ma'akev. And when it comes to those Korbanas, it uses the Lashon of Havaya. The Elim Shnayim Yihiyu. Ola is what it says in the Pasuk. And as we know, wherever it says that word Havaya at any level, it always is Ma'akev. And the Mishnah is saying it's not Ma'akev. So here we don't understand what we're talking about. Well, I guess let's go back to where we understood it. It could be saying that the Elim in plural is indeed referring to that Seret of Torat Kohanim together with the Psukim in Pinchas. What it's saying is that you might have thought that since you have two groups of Korbanos that are brought on Chag HaShavuot. One group is the Musafim, like on all of the holidays, and the other is the special Korbanos that are brought together with the Shtei HaLechem. So maybe that's exactly what the Mishnah is saying. Those two groups are not Ma'akev each other. So when it says Elim are not Ma'akev, what it's saying is that the Elim of Toras Kohanim are not Ma'akvim the Elim in Parshas Pinchas. So, and vice versa. Though Ayo de Chumash HaPkudim, if you can't bring your Ayo for the Musaf, that doesn't mean that you cannot bring the Korbanos together with the Shtei HaLechem, which are two Elim. So maybe that's the point in the Mishnah. And when it uses the plural Elim, you're right. It can't be referring to one particular set of Elim, either because there is no such set or because the one place that we do have it, it clearly is Ma'akev because of Havaya, but it could mean the two sets are not Ma'akev each other. Therefore, referring to the general concept of the multiple Elim that are brought between the Chumash HaPakudim for the Musaf, Ayel Echad, and the Parsha of the Shnei Alechem with the Moadim, which is brought in Emma. May I point out to you that yields a crazy Mishnah? Look at this. It's like each piece is completely disconnected with the previous piece. Because when you're saying the Purim are not Ma'akev, you're referring to the Purim of the same Korb, right? Tafilu ha'adadi lo ma'akve. And when you talk about the Kvasim, you're also referring to the Kvasim that are brought together. And then in the middle of that Mishnah, you throw in a totally different type of construct, which is that two different groups of Elim are not ma'akev each other, but two Elim, of course, would be ma'akev each other. What a strange Mishnah. First, you're talking about single sets. Then you switch to multiple sets, but the single set is marked, and then you switch back to single sets. I never heard of a Mishnah that's written so crazy. Because when you're talking about Purim, it's Afilo Adori lo Ma'akev. They are not Ma'akev each other. Then when you go to Elim, you mean, well, the different sets are not Ma'akev each other. The Hochav Ahu de lo Ma'akev, but only the different sets. But the single sets are absolutely Ma'akev, the opposite of the first and last parts of the Mishnah. Well, you're right. It's hard to believe, but we don't have much choice but to say, Tana Nile Nile Katani. This Mishnah is putting together different sugyas, Einachinami, and it's putting them together. That happens sometimes. So basically, what it's saying is, the Shnei Parim on Shavuos are not marking each other. The Kvasim are not marking each other, but the Elim between the Musafim and the Shtei Alechem are also not ma'akev each other, even though the Elim within one set would be ma'akev. So where would we get this? Now, Rabbosai, one of the most problematic areas of Tanakh is Sefer Yecheskel. Sefer Yecheskel is so confusing. The psukim at Sefer Yecheskel are so, they look like they were written by some Christian scholar who didn't understand a word of what he was reading in the Torah, and he makes up these new psukim. I mean, it sounds absolutely insane. Everything that he writes about the Karbonos is wrong. He's got the numbers wrong. He's got the times wrong. They figured, look, we can't publicize Yecheskel. We'll have to be Gonez Yecheskel. Maybe when Eliyahu HaNavi shows up, he'll tell us what we're supposed to do with Yecheskel. But this thing is certainly should not be published. It's an amazing situation. Now, you'll remember that the Rambam, when he talks about the binyan of the bayis, he talks about the original mitzvahs, and then he says, we've got all kinds of psukim in Yecheskel about how to build. You remember that the Malach shows up as an architect, and he's got his measuring tapes and his laser beams, and he's showing Yecheskel around. And so the Rambam says, look, there's all kinds of new constructs in Yecheskel. Some of them are understandable, and whatever was understandable was indeed implemented in the second Beis HaMikdash. But much of it was not understandable, and that will be implemented in the Beis HaMikdash to come. So, this Gemara is going to go through some of those very strange psukim in Yecheskel and show us that they are nogeya today's sugya, and also have a place, la'atid lavo. So we start off with Rabbi Shimon's connection to the psukim in Yecheskel. So one of the crazy parts of Yecheskel is that it describes a musaf of Rosh Chodesh that doesn't exist. So it says, u'b'yom ha'chodesh. So on the day of Rosh Chodesh, it says, what do you bring? Par ben bakar tamim, v'sheshet kvasim, v'ayel tmimim. So let me ask you what that is supposed to mean, because there certainly is no such carbon. The carbon is shnei parim, ayel achad, and shiv'a kvasim. So where is this carbon coming? So why does this pasuk say par instead of parim? Ah, because what Yecheskel is coming to say is that lefi shenemar b'torah, what's the lashon in the pasuk? Parim. So since it says parim, you would have thought that you have to bring shnei parim or bust. And if you only have one par, don't bring one par. Minayin she'im lo matza shnayim evi echad. Where do you see that b'diavad? If you only have one par, you can bring one par. Talmud lomar, par. Therefore, says Yecheskel, look, if it boils down to only having one, bring what you can. And then when it says sheshet kvasim, I mean, how is that? Wherever the Torah talks about the kvasim, it's shiva kvasim. So mata mudomar, because the fi shekatub batorah shiva kvasim, so I would have thought you can only bring shiva, and it's shiva or bust. Minayin shim lo matza shiva yavi shisha. How do you know that if you don't have a chance to bring seven, you should still bring what you can. You should bring six. Talmud Lomar, that's why this pasuk says, Sheshe Kvasim. So maybe that's the minimum. How do I know that if you can't even find six, you bring five? And if you can't find five, you bring four. And if you can't find arba'a, yavi shlosha. And if you can't find shlosha, yavi shnayim. And as long as you bring anything, even one. Therefore, continues the pasuk, v'lake vasim kasher tasig yado. Whatever you're capable of getting, that's what you should bring. Well, if it says that, then why did it have to say that weird thing about bringing six? If it says you can bring whatever you want, what was the point of mentioning six? Oh, because, you see, you might think that if you can't bring them all, that you bring one. In other words, you're not able to bring the requisite number. So therefore, the Torah would be telling you, bring one keves, at least that there should be a chelek to kvasim in the musaf. Therefore, it says, no, bring six, if you can. Kama de efshe lahadure madrin, on whatever you're capable of finding, try to bring them. Uminayin shema akvim ze et ze. But how do we know that in the event that you do have all of them, that then you cannot bring just some? And then they would all be mocking each other. That's why it says, Beferish, in that same pasuk, Yihi you, the Sheshet Kvasim, the Ayat Mimi, Yihi you. So since on the one hand the pasuk is telling us kasher tasigedo, and on the other hand it's saying yiyu, and yiyu usually means ikuva, as we've seen all through the Masechet, must be that if you have them and don't bring them, then in fact they would be ma'akid. If you cannot attain them, then you bring whatever you can bring. Let me show you another pasuk that is absolutely nuts. Ko amar Hashem Elohim, Barishon, in the first month of Nisan, Be'achad Lachodesh, on Rosh Chodesh, Tikach Par Ben Bakar Tamim, bring a par. And what do you do with this par? I mean, I know there is a par for an Eila. No. Bring a par V'chiteta Tamigdash. Now, Chiteta means it's a Chatat. But there is no par that is brought as a chatat. So what is it talking about? It says beferish in the pasuk that that korban of Rosh Chodesh is only an oila. There is a chatat, but that chatat, of course, is the soyer shel Rosh Chodesh. There's no such thing as a par chatat that's brought on Rosh Chodesh. So how can you tell me v'chiteta? This is an oila. Amar Rabbi Yochanan, I give up. Parasha zo Eliyahu atid ledorsha. We have no way of figuring this out. And basically, we need to wait till we build the Beis HaMikdash, and Eliyahu will be there giving us hadracha, and he certainly has a Kabbalah on this issue, so we'll be able to speak to Eliyahu, and he'll explain it to us. Rav Ashi says, you don't need no Eliyahu Hanavi. I'm just as good, and I will explain it to you perfectly well, which is the way that the Rambam indeed explains all of these korbanos and what it's referring to. So says Rav Ashi, this is referring, forget about Eliyahu and Ben, the third Beis HaMikdash. This makes sense even immediately in the second Beis HaMikdash. You could put this into effect, not to mention the coming Beis HaMikdash. What it means is that the same way that the original Mishkan was built with Miluim, that's this week's Parsha, and we have all of those Miluim that were brought that were not standard Korbanos, they were Korbanos Lefi Sha'ah. The same way that there were Miluim at the time of Moshe, Miluim ikrivu b'mei Ezra k'derech ikrivu b'mei Moshe. And just like at Moshe, there was a younger par, there was an egel of the two-year-old that had to be brought as part of the korban that was mechaper on the egel at the building of the Beis HaMikdash. So, in the second Beis HaMikdash, There was also the same thing that was brought then, and in the third base HaMikdash it will be a three-year-old, whatever. So basically, these are describing the miluim at the time of the rebuilding of the Beis HaMikdash, and they are not a problem because they are Kedushei Shah, and as you know, as we've seen many times, Sha'ah midorot, dorot mishah, we don't learn one from the other. Now listen to the way that the Rambam brings the entire story of the Psukim in Ezra as a universal way of approaching Ezra. Kol shiurei hanisachim ha'amurim b'sefer Yecheskel u'minyan otam ha'korbanot and the sidrei ha'avodah, everything ha'ktuvim sham in Ezra, in Yecheskel, that makes no sense, kulam milu'imim, these are all korbanos milu'im, ve'ein nohagin l'dorot, only the Navi was mitzava, ha'navi tziva, u'piresh ketzad yum akrivim ha'milu'im, im chanukat ha'mizbeach b'nei ha'melech ha'mashiach, kishyibaneh bayit ha'shlishi. So these things that we don't understand in Yecheskel is because we don't have an equivalent in Dorot. But when it comes to the rebuilding, why do you need it? You don't need anybody to explain it. It's quite clear. These are korbanos that need to be brought when Mashiach comes. U'kishem shi'ikrivo ha'nesiim b'chanukat ha'mizbeach, the same way that at the time of the Mishkan, in the Chodesh Nisan, the Nesiim brought dvorim she'ein kamotam l'dorot. You know already that there's a concept of Kodshei Shah that is not Nogea l'dorot. The Klivu b'Shabbat, and they brought korbanos on Shabbos that were private korbanos in the sense of the korbanot on Nesiim, and how was it Doche Shabbos, and so on. That's no kasha. Kach ha'nasi. We have this whole story about the Nasi going in on Yom HaShabbat and bringing korbanos. You're 100% right. There is no such korban in the Doros, and it would be a Chilul Shabbos. But so too the Nasi was makriv his korban, which was a Chanukah, Tzamish, Hamikdash, b'Shabbat, li'atid, kasher mefurashan. V'chein korbanot shikrivu b'mi Ezra. Now, I'm telling you these tzukim are nogea us, b'nogea, the halacha of the Beis HaMikdash to come. But b'mei Ezra, they also. There were also Aboim Yashvi in Bovel. They were all korbanot miluim. V'einan nohagim l'dorot. Avodvarim ha'nohagim l'dorot. Classic Rambam. Those korbanos that are nohagim l'dorot, those are divrei Torah, and they are mutakim mipi Moshe Rabbeinu. Ein lo sif aleihem. Those are universals. What are you mixing up these things that are lidorot? And you think that they have something to do with the Sha'as. Mom is so beautiful, Rambam. These things, that, what are you getting confused for? And take a look at Chayaliba. She's wondering why anybody would have even a kasha. Seems to be clear, according to Ravashi. This is a big problem. Apparently, Moshe David doesn't have any boost. We'll have to supply him with some boost. Beautiful. And, in fact, we have a brayta that makes that very clear. Tanya Nami Achi, Reb Yehuda Omer. In this brayta, Reb Yehuda is the one who says, like Reb Yochanan, it said over here, Parasha Zo, Elio Atid Dorsha, I don't understand it. We'll have to wait for Elio Anavi. And comes along Reb Yossi and says, what's there to understand? It's very straightforward. Ani, I can explain it to you. Miluim hikrivu bimei Ezra kedarash hikrivu bimei Moshe. Oy, Reb Yehuda was so happy to hear that. Omar lo tanuar da'atcha she'inachta da'ati. I used to go nuts on these tzukim in Yecheskel. I couldn't figure out what the heck he's talking about. Oh, you just made me feel so good. It fits perfectly. Now I'm so much more comfortable than Sarah used to have. It didn't seem possible that there would be a way out of this contradiction. Maybe another example of a crazy pusset in Yecheskel that makes perfectly good sense, okay? How about this? Kol nevela u'trefa mina ofu mina beima lo yochlu ha'kohanim. What is that supposed to mean? Special new dinim for the Kohanim. And they are not allowed to eat nevelas and trefas. like we never heard in the veil of a treifa before. And it's only a dinin kayanim, what, and Yisraelim are allowed to eat in the veil of a treifa. What is he referring to? Kohanim udelo yochlu. But what, a regular Jew is allowed to eat the veilas and treifas? Oh, Yisrael, achle. Oh, he says, Rabbi Yochanan, I give up. Parashah zoe liho atid ledor shah. Ravina says, well, it's very simple. Kohanim itstrichale. We need the pasuk to make it very clear as a hezber on the divrei Torah, because sal kadatecha mina hoyo veishtari malika legabayot ishtari nami nevela v'treifa. Listen, let me ask you something. Do Kohanim eat nevelas? Do Kohanim eat treifas? Absolutely, they do. Huh? Of course. Every time you do malika, so first you turn that bird into a treifa, because you've cut through from the back of the neck, and even before you cut through a rove basar, remember, we're careful not to cut through a rove basar. So first we'll cut the simanim, and we won't cut rove basar, but that makes it a treifa. That's a psul in dinim of shechita, and now we're breaking its neck and so on. That's mamish a treifa. Then we put the thumb through the entire basar. So then it becomes rov basar. Once rov basar, remember we saw this before in Zvachim, in the Dinam Malika, that first you do the Malika without rov basar, and then when you complete it, you go through both simonim with rov basar. But once it's rov basar, it's an avela, we said. And even if it still looks alive, it's not alive. It's an avela. So therefore, you see that Kohanim apparently don't have an Isser of Achilles Nevelas for Treifas. So you would have thought that if that's the case, they're not included in the overall Parsha and Tishtei Nami Nevela V'Treifa in general. Kamash Malan, that this is for Kohanim no different than anybody else. The same dinim of Nevela V'Treifa and the din of Malika is a special halacha for this Ophos of Kachim, for the Kohanim that was put into effect for them. I'll give you another example, okay? Here it's talking about, this is going back to the case we had before, where it's talking about the Rishon in the first month, meaning in Nisan, and it said over there, V'chiteta et HaMikdash. Then it's got something that's totally crazy. This makes no sense at all. It says, do the same thing on the seventh of the month. Seventh of the month. Wow. Ne'ish shoger umipeti, from some crazy guy who doesn't know what he's doing. He's a nut. V'chipartem et habayit, and that way you'll bring a kapora to the house. Oh, man. I mean, come on. That doesn't, such a crazy idea. This people that are nuts at seventh of the month. And kapora, what kind of kapora? Before we said v'chiteta, that's a whole din to be mechate from the dinim of, as Rashi says, of zaros, to remove all the dinim of zaros. But what kind of kapora are we talking about over here? So I'll explain to you what this means is. And here, Rabbi Yochanan Dafka is the one to explain it. When it says b'shiv'a, it does not mean the seventh of the month. It means in the event that there was a chiyuv for a par helam davar shel tzibur. And the par helam davar shel tzibur, you will recall, is defined by a case where the Bezdin made a mistake in one of those issues that is a chiyuv of kares, and you had rov of the tzibur that followed the psak of Bezdin, and they were nikshal. So then the Bezdin brings a special korban, which is called the Par Helam Davar Shel Tzibur. Now the question is, how do we define that tzibur? Is the tzibur most of the population, or is the tzibur most of the shvatim, even if it doesn't have most of the country's population? So if you would have these seven shvatim out of 12, you then would have most of the tzibur, if it's defined by the Shevet, even if there's smaller Shvatim, and these seven do not include the Rove population. That's the meaning, says Rabbi Yochanan. B'shiva refers to seven Shvatim that were Chote, even if they're not Ruba Shel Kahal. When it says Chodesh, which you think means month, it does not mean the month. It means new. And it's talking about if Bezdin were Mechadish a halacha, which was wrong, and they said, let's say, that a particular type of chelev is kosher. So im chichu, v'amru, this chelev is mutter. And then you had me'ish shogeh umipeti, so melamed she'in chayovin elal halamdavar im shigigat hama'aseh. You had people that were foolish enough to follow the psak of Bezdin, like we had in the Gemara before, and that the mistake is, when we learned Turias, we saw this, the mistake that makes it a shogeg is the mistake of believing that you should trust Sanhedrin, whatever they say. And that's a big mistake. If you believe that, and based on that, you went ahead and did it, then you would be an ish shogeg and petty. And that would teach us that you do need to have a shigigat ha-ma'aseh. So there needs to be people that actually were nichshal in this thing. But just because a bezdin paskin does not mechayev them in the par helam dover. So that's what we're talking about. We're talking about not a korban that's brought on the seventh of a particular month. And we're not talking about a chatas that is brought for the Beis HaMikdash. We're talking about a par. Which par? Par Halam Dover. What is the Shir Par Halam Dover? First of all, it requires Ish Shogeh Bepeti. So it requires it to be actually manifested in Maaseh. Furthermore, how many need to be Nichshal? Shiva. So seven of the 12 Shvatim have to be involved in order to be Mechayev you. V'chi Parta, which is the lotion that we have by the kapor of the parlam davar shel tzibur, v'chiparta et habayit. And you remember that one of the drushes that we had back in Hurias about the parlam davar shel tzibur is the difference between parochet hakodesh, which appears by the parko in Mashiach, and the parochet where it doesn't say parochet hakodesh, which refers to the case where you have the bezdin. So kevayachol, as the Gemara says, it's as if you destroyed the Kedushin of Beis HaMikdash. It's already rove the Tzibur. It's as if you don't even have a Parochet HaKodesh anymore. And therefore, it appears in this order. But that's why it would say V'chiparta et HaBayit particular. On the Revuta Amarav, you know, a lot of these psukim in Yechezkel were actually explained by a gentleman with the name of Hanina ben Chizkiah. And let me tell you something. That's a man that is remembered for all times, L'tayv. Zachuro Tola Ish L'tov. That was Hanina ben Chizkiah Shmo. If it wouldn't have been for him, we wouldn't have a Sefer Yechezkel. Yomalayu Nignaz Sefer Yechezkel. Because anybody who read Yechezkel said, what kind of business is this? Apocrypha, garbage, some nut wrote this stuff. Hayud Varav Sotrim Divrei Torah. So what did he do, this Hanina ben Chizkiah? He brought up 300 barrels of oil, which means, obviously we know for the Gemara Chulin, that every place that it says 300 is just a lashon of great exaggeration, is all that it means. And he brought up all of that oil to keep his lights going so that he could work on this 24 hours a day so that his computers wouldn't shut down and he would have everything worked out. So he brought up as much energy as he needed and worked on it until the whole thing was worked out. Yashav Ba'aliyah Udirasho, and he was the one who explained all of these drushes, and we may not be privy to all of them, but we know that the Chachamim decided, and the basis of what he did, and actually it is all absolutely clear, there's no reason to be gone say for Yechezkel. So, that Aliyah of Hanina ben Chizkiah is a very important Aliyah because it was also the destined spot of the Yudches Dover where we had the whole Machlokes, Beit Shammai, and Beit Hillel. So while he was working on Yechezkel, we had a lot of other work that became very central to the Dinim of the Torah. So Amar Rabbi Shimon. Let's get back to the Mishnah. So Rabbi Shimon comes up with this weird psak where you would have thought, on the basis of simple logic, if you have an opportunity to buy the parim which can only be brought today, and if you miss today, you'll never be able to bring them again. And on the other hand, you could use the money for the extra parim instead to bring the nesachim for one of the parim. It's better to bring the nesachim. How is that possible? The nesachim you can make up for much later. You don't have to bring it together with the carbon, as we've been talking about. Wouldn't it make sense to bring all of the parim which you have available only today, and then do what you can do gradually? As you're able to get the money from the nesachim, you bring them as they become available. Where did he get the idea that imayula and parim merubim, without nesachim, better to use the money for bringing one par with the nesachim than to bringing all of the parim without them? So what would be the marker for that? Tana Rabbana. This also comes from Yechezkel. Take a look at this weird pasuk in Yechezkel and tell me what the heck it's supposed to mean. Ve'eifal apar, ve'eifal ayil, ya'aseh mincha. Now, first of all, an eifa is 10 esronim. There is no mincha that has 10 esronim. That's number one. Now, the general term eifa can be used as a word for a measuring cup. Fine. So let's say it means a measuring cup. Would you use the same eifa for a par and an ayah? I mean, we know that those have completely different shiurim. So how do you explain such a crazy pasuk? Eifa la par, ve'eifa la ayah yaseh mincha, and then la kvasim kasher tasig yado. What in the world? And then it adds v'shemen hin le'eifa. This makes no sense at all. Om Rebbe Shimon, well, go try to explain that to me. V'chimidat parim ve'lim achati. Is there any place where a mincha of a par and a mincha of an ayah is the same? I mean, the mincha of a par, shlosha esronim la par, shnei esronim la ayah, and it calls them both an eifa. Ela, so what must it mean? It must mean that, of course, eifa doesn't mean an actual 10 esronim. It's using it in its general term. Use whatever the correct measuring cup is for the par and the one that's appropriate for the ayo. And what it is saying is, however, is that im hayu lahem parim merubim, v'lo hayu lahem nesachim. Therefore, the main point over here is that if you've got a lot of parim, says Rabbi Shimon, but you do not have what you need for them, you don't have the nesachim, so then it's saying, yaviu parachad unesachav, ve'al yikavu kulam below nesachim. So it's not coming to tell me how much you're supposed to bring, obviously, because it doesn't make any sense in terms of the particular amount. But what it is telling us is that if you're going to be bringing a par, make sure it has its eifa. Now, the eifa in this context means what you need for it. So therefore, if you can't afford its eifa, so then it's better to have less of the parim, but to have the parim that do have their eifa. And therefore, since we spoke about one par, and there's usually no musaf that has one par, there's always shnei parim. So if it's talking about one par, it's saying, bring that par echad with its eifa. Well, obviously, no. It's coming to tell me that is preferred. That par with its eifa is preferable to the shnei parim. That's the whole point of this pasuk in Yechezkel, which is exactly what I'm saying. And the same thing is true of the eilim. You've got a chance to bring all of the eilim that you have to bring, but you don't have the correct eifa. It's better to bring an ayel echad instead of bringing whatever you needed to bring without their necessary eifot. Therefore, this is the mocker that I'm telling you, that it's a chiddush of the pasuk in Yechezkel. It's more important to have a car, even though it's not ma'akev, we said before, you can bring those nesachim later. It's more important to bring that carbon correctly with its mincha at its correct time than to wait until later to make up and then bring the actual animals on the day. Tremendous finish. And this brings us to the next cameo performance by the one and only. That only registered at 73 dB, and it only got you the applause at a 66. Oh my gosh. Rich, you got to take a nice good drink of water before at least.
What am I going to do if my ratings go down? I'll have to be demoted to
You can learn from Trump. Doesn't matter how low your ratings go. You got to maintain whatever it is you're out to take care of. Okay.
Where are you going to track your ratings, Richie? On Fox News.
So what did we learn so far? We brought up in the Mishnah that we just had, we brought up the interrelationship of the Korbanos HaNatzeret of the Shtei HaLechem with the Korbanos HaNatzeret from Chumash HaPekudim of Parshas Pinchas. Okay, so let's just review what those are, because they're actually, if you bring the Shtei HaLechem, you have something that's similar in many ways to the Korban in Pinchas, but it has critical differences. Because you've got one par, you've got Shnei Elim, and you've got Shivat Kvasim, and you've got one Sawyer for Chatas, and you have these two new special Korbanos, which are called Zivchei Shalmei Tzibur. So these are Shlomim, but they're Shlomim that have a special din of Kodshei Kodashim. They're only eaten for one day by Zichrei Kehuna, and they are brought like Shlomim, but they have dinim of Kodshei Kodashim. Now those are those special korbanos, all brought for the Shtei HaLechem, but two of those korbanos are actually tenufed, they're waved together with the Shtei HaLechem, and that's only these new kvasim that are being brought as the Shlomim. So, those, hapar, v'helim, v'akvasim, v'hasair, in v'akvinat alechem, v'lo alechem me'akva. So all of those karbanas for the oila, the chatas, you can't bring them, and you still have your shtei alechem. You bring your shtei alechem. And if you've got your shtei alechem, you don't have your shtei alechem, then you bring your korbanos ola and your korbanos chatas, and there's no problem. But what about the lechem and the kvasim of the special zivchei shalmei tzibur? Now that is not the same. The lechem is ma'akev the kvasim, says Rabbi Akiva. So you've got to have the shtei alechem in order to bring those kvasim. But if you don't have the kvasim, you still bring the shtei alechem, which is a special korban that is brought, even though it's not put on the mizbeach, but that's the avreda of atzeret, which is matir, the new chitim for all the korbanos in the Beis HaMikdash, and that's the chukais kotzir that don't have to do with the korbanos, they have to be brought on their own. So says Rabbi Akiva. Omer Rabbi Shimon ben Anas, you've got it totally backwards. It's the opposite. Lo, ki hakvasim ha'akvim et ha'lechem. Remember, those shtei alechem do not have anything at all that is brought as an askara on the mizbeach. They can't. Why can't they? Tell me, why can't they have anything put on the mizbeach from those special shtei alechem? You all know the answer to that.
They don't go on the mizbeach.
Well, why not? Who's to say you can't put a chometz a little bit on?
Oh, chometz v'chol se'or.
Thank you. They're made out of chometz. That's the whole point. And that's where the Torah says, turn these into your special mincha, but don't put them on the mizbeach. Exactly. So how do you think that they are actually nitar if they don't have a matir? Well, I'll tell you, the situation is this. The karbonis and the dam of the karbonis is matir, the lechem, and that's the whole point. But the lechem is not needed for the karbonis. The karbonis are matir themselves. And if you want historical proof of this, yet take into consideration that as long as Klal Yisrael was in the Midbar, 40 years, did they have the Shtei Alechem? No, because you can't bring Shtei Alechem from anything but the produce of Eretz Yisrael that you produced, and they weren't in Eretz Yisrael yet. So since we know that all of those years, they still brought all of the karbonas, and they didn't have the actual Shtei Alechem, so you see that those karbonas exist independently. Come Shavuos, you bring those karbonas, and then 40 years later, you were able to bring those karbonas together with the Shtei Alechem. So therefore, it means that today, if you don't have the lechem, you would still do the same thing you did in the Midbar. Afkan yikravu kevasim b'lo lechem. Omar Rabbi Shimon, not to be confused with Rabbi Shimon ben Anas, of course. Alacha kidivrei ben Anas. He is right, Rabbi Shimon ben Anas, but he's wrong. He's right, but not for what he thought the reason was that he's right. I'll tell you why he's right, but he's wrong in the history. Halacha kidivrei ben Anas, avo en hatam kidvarav. This is not what he said, because the truth is, Shekol Ha'amur, the Chumash HaPekudim, was Korev B'Midbar. The ruling is that all of those Musafim, which are in Parshas Pinchas, they were brought even still in the Midbar. But whatever was in Parshas Vayikra, like the Shtei Alechem, Kol Ha'amur B'Torah Kohanim, that was not brought B'Midbar. Lo Korev B'Midbar, and those were indeed brought only upon the Knesa to Eretz Yisrael. So Misha Bola Oretz, once they came to Eretz Yisrael, that put together the Parshas Emor, together with Parshas Pinchas, and all of the Karbonas were then brought for the first time. So he's simply wrong about his argument, where he claims that all of those Karbonas were brought by Midbar. Because, yes, of course, the Karbonas in the beginning of Torah Sekanim were brought by Midbar, but those in Parshas Emor, which discuss the Yichud of the Omer and the Shtei Alechem, those were not brought by Midbar. Mipnei Ma, so why do I say that he's right if he's wrong? So Mipnei Ma, Ani Omer, Yikravu Kvasim Belo Lechem, because the Kvasim do not need an external Matir. A keves is a carbon, like any other carbon. It has dam that's matir itself. So akvasim matirim et atzman. But you can't bring the lechem without kvasim, because what is matir this lechem if it's hekdesh? You need to bring a matir. So if you don't have the dam of the carbon that is brought together with this lechem, and when I say brought together, I mean brought together. You have to wave them together. You put the bread on top of the sheep and you wave them together. So therefore, if you don't have that sheep, you don't have a heter on the achila of this lechem. So you cannot do your arba avodas of the matirin, and therefore there'd be no way to eat that lechem. It couldn't be given to the kohanim if you don't have the carbon to be matir. Tana Rabbanan. It says, after telling me about the Shtei Alechem, it says in the Pasuk, V'ikraftem al Alechem, then together with this Lechem, you have to bring Shivak, Vasim Tmimim, B'nei Shana, Par Ben Bakar Echad, Elim Shnayim, and there's this Yiyu. Yiyu Ola Lashem, Umim Chatam V'nizkehem, Ishe Reach Nichoach Vasha. So that's Mashma, that they are all chova al halechem, meaning you can only bring them together with the lechem. That's what it seems to be saying. Now, before we enter into this circuit, please forgive me for being so weak here with my voice. Let's think about all of the psukim in this circuit and note where it uses lashon havaya. So the pasuk begins, Mimoshvotechem taviu lechem tenufa shtayim shnei esronim. Listen to this word. Solatihiena. Oh my gosh. So that is a havaya word, which means it would be ma'akev. And here it's a reference to the lechem. Solatihiena. Hametz Teafena Bikurim Lashem. Then comes the pasuk that we're discussing now. The very next pasuk, V'hikraftem al halechem shivat kvasim tmimim b'nei shana upar ben bakar echad ve'elim shnayim yihiyu. Oh my gosh. So now we also have, we have the lashon of havaya with the shivat kvasim tmimim and so on. Yihiyu olah l'Hashem u'minchatam v'nizkeyem yisher reach l'choach l'Hashem. Now, let's take a look at the next two psukim. Va'asitem se'ir izim echad l'chatat u'shnei kvasim b'nei shana l'zevach shelami. So this pasuk talks about the kivse atzeret. It doesn't say yihiyu. And then in the next pasuk it says, you have to take these two sheep, wave them together with the lechem, bifnei Hashem al shnei kvasim, and listen to this word, kodesh yihiyu l'Hashem. They have to be that way, l'kohen. Now the question is, how to understand these tihiyenas and there's yihiyus, which are lishonas of ikuva. So, Tana Rabba, when it says vikraftem al halecha, that was that first pasuk. That means that all of this is chova al halecha. They are limited to bringing together with the lechem. But if you don't have the lechem, then there's no such karma. It seems to imply that the two are interrelated. Then it says, Shivat kvasim tmimim, which is mashma, let's talk about the korbanas, which are yihiyu, without any kind of lechem. Doesn't make any mention in that pasuk of the lechem. So apparently, the shivat kvasim tmimim would be independent of the lechem and would be brought af al pi she'ein lechem. Because, look, if it wanted to say that you need to do it with the lechem, so it should have said, V'ikraftem shiv'a kvasim tmimim im halechem. It doesn't say that. It says, V'ikraftem im halechem, which means, okay, you know, if you brought the lechem, good, but these are korbanos that should be brought when you bring the lechem or on your own. So then how do you explain the fact that the pasuk said before al halechem, V'ikraftem al halechem, which implies they're only brought together with the lechem? Ah, that teaches you that the time that you were in the midbar, you were not mitzvah to bring these kvasim. Why? Because you were not yet mitzvah to bring the lechem, because you hadn't come into Eretz Yisrael yet. So this is not talking about the actual bringing of the lechem. It's talking about the zman of the chiyuv of the lechem. So melamed shelo nitchayvu b'kvasim kodem shenitchayvu b'lechem. These karbonos were not a chiyuv in the midbar because there was no chiyuv in the lechem. So, says Rabbi Tarf, which means that as long as you're in the midbar, there's no chiyuv. Rabbi Akiva Omer, whereas Rabbi Akiva, which is what we said in the Mishnah, but it's a question over here, Bichlal, whether this is really only true like Rabbi Akiva. Many take out the gears of Rabbi Akiva Omer. You might have thought, because everybody has to deal with this issue, you might have thought that the seven kvasim that appear here in what you bring together with the shtei halachim, that's just taking the seven kvasim that you were going to need to bring as your mincha, which we learn about in Parshas Pinchas, and which was brought in the midbar. So you might think that these seven kvasim are those seven kvasim. We have the same confusion about the elim on Yom HaKippurim, whether the aisle that's referred to on Yom Kippur, is that the aisle of the Musaf, or is it referring to the aisle that the Kohen? Remember, we've got all of these different elim, and we have to make sure we understand what's what. Here, when it comes to Shtei Halechem, we have the same concern with the Kvasim. So our question is, when it says bring the Shiva Kvasim, you might have thought that, yes, the seven Kvasim are the same, identical to the Parshas Pinchas seven Kvasim. But then, think about it for a minute, Amrit. I mean, you should say to yourself, look, I mean, I could have thought that, but as soon as I continue reading, And I get to the part about how many parim and how many pe'ilim, which are completely not like they are in Parshas Pinchas, because here it says, par echad u'shnei elim, and in Parshas Pinchas it says, shnei parim va'ayel echad. So how could it be the same? So if these are not the same korbanos when it comes to the elim and the parim, it makes sense that they're not the same korbanos when it comes to the kvasim. And therefore, there's two separate sets, completely different sets. Halalu b'ayim biglal atzmam, and halalu b'ayim biglal halechem. So we've got the musafim, and we've got the lechem. Which means that masha amur, v'chumash apkudim, was korev b'midbar. But what was amur b'torat kohanim in Parshas Emor is not brought in the midbar because they are dependent in bringing the shtei halechem. I mean, is that necessarily true? Couldn't we say that the Purim and the Elim are not the same, but the Kvasim are the same? I mean, your only proof is about the Kvasim, is Nogea and the Purim and the Elim. You have no reason to necessarily conclude that the Kvasim are not the same. It's the same number of Kvasim in both cases. Yeah, but it's not reasonable. It makes sense that we're talking about a different set, then instead of putting together seven from this set, and then, well, now, wait a minute. Actually, how do you know that this is a different set? I don't know that I'm convinced of that. Maybe what the Torah is giving you over here is an option. And maybe what it's saying is like this. There are two ways of bringing the korbanos on Shavuos. You could either take the standard korban of the musafim, like it appears in Pinchas, or if you don't have what you need, you could actually do it the other way around. You could bring either one par and two elim, or you could bring two parim and one ayil, and you could use either way. That would make the Shivat Kvasim the standard, and that would link the two parshas, Emor and Pinchas, and it's offering two options of how to bring the other korbanos. Either you can bring a par and two elim, or you can bring the two parim and the ayel echad, like the normal mincha. It's up to you. I don't believe it. Because the way that they are written down is in a completely different order than they're written down in Pinchas. So, midi ishtani sidran shema mina achrine nino. Why would we change the order? I mean, I understand you want to tell me that it's an option of which karbonas. But in Emor, it says, Shiva kvasim par echad ushne elim. But all of the karbonas in Pinchas are always start with the parim, not with the kvasim. It's always shne parim v'ayel echad v'shiva kvasim. So this whole presentation is a totally different presentation. It's not optional, because the option would have been in terms of the animals. But why would the option be in terms of the order of the karbanos? So, midishtani sidran, shmamina achrine minu. These must be actually a completely different set of karbanos. Fine. Now, let's take a look at Rabbi Akiva's sheet. Rabbi Akiva said that the lechem is ma'akev the kvasim, but the kvasim is not ma'akev the lechem, whereas Rabbi Shimon ben Nana says exactly the opposite. The lechem is only niter ayadei the kvasim, and the kvasim, as far as the lechem, kvasim can be brought on their own without the lechem. So let's take a look at these psukim and try to figure out the two shitas over here. What do you think Rabbi Akiva holds about these psukim, that according to him means that the lechem is ma'akev the kvasim and not vice versa? As we looked at those psukim 10 minutes ago, we saw that there is a reference both of tihyena and yihyu, which refer both to the lechem and the kvasim, because the first pasuk said mimoshvotechem teviu lechem tnufa, and it said there's solet tihyena. Now, that's got to be referring to the lechem, because that's all it discusses there. And then the next pasuk only discusses the animals. It says, V'kravtem al alechem, shivat kvasim, etc., etc., etc. Yihiyu ol al Hashem. So we seem to have a lashon of ikuva both on the korbanos and on the lechem. So where does Rabbi Akiva get the idea that there's a difference between them, and where does Benanus argue with him? So basically, Rabbi Akiva says, look, the word tihiena that starts off the whole story, which was referring to the lechem, he learns out the second pasuk, which says, v'kraftem al alechem, and then it says, yihiyu, he says that's a gzera shava. Yihiyu in the second pasuk is a gzera shava from the tihiena in the first pasuk. And just like, obviously, the tihiena can only be referring to the lechem because it didn't even introduce the korbanos yet, so afkan lechem. So therefore, what it means is, what is ma'akev? The lechem is ma'akev. But we don't have any indication that the korbanos are ma'akev. Whereas Benana says just the opposite. Yihiyu, which appears in the second pasuk, actually should be learned from the yihiyu in the third pasuk. Because remember, we also had the pasuk that said, from the second pasuk, we learned the second pasuk that says, V'kraktam al alechem shivat kvasim, etc., ben bakar achad, aylim shayim, yihiyu olal Hashem. And then the closing pasuk says, V'enif hakohen otam alechem ebikurim, kodesh yihiyu, Hashem elakohen. Therefore, says Benanas, look, we've got one instance of a tihiena, and we've got two instances of yihiyu. Don't you think it's more logical to learn the yihiyu from the yihiyu? So the closing pasuk of putting together v'nifa koreno tama lechem abikurim tenufa al shnei kvasim kodesh yihiyu should follow the yihiyu of the pasuk that lists the shiva kvasim to be mim upar ben bakar achad ve'elim shnayim yihiyu olal Hashem. So therefore, it's telling me just the opposite. Just like if you're talking about that second pasuk yihiyu, it says shivat kvasim. So too, in the closing pasuk of kodesh yihiyu l'Hashem v'lakohen, it's not referring to the lechem; it's referring to the kvasim. Well, why is Benanas so convinced that we should learn it from the EU and not from Tiena? Let him learn it from the Tiena also. Benanas nani? Nails me Tiena and say, Malahalan lechem and Afkan lechem. I mean, basically, at least according to Rabbi Akiva, the Gzera Shava is putting together two din. One pasuk about the Shtel lechem, and one pasuk about the korbanos that are brought with the shtel. According to Benanas, it just seems to be repetitive. So what's the point of not learning from Rabbi Akiva's tihiena? Well, I mean, every idiot can see that it makes more sense to learn one yihiyu from another yihiyu and not learn yihiyu from a word that's only related, but it's not the same word, and that's the word tihiena. So if you have a question of whether we're going to compare the Gzera Shava of Kodesh Yihiyu LaHashem LaKohen in Pasuk Chaf, we're going to compare it back to the Pasuk in Yud Ches, which says Yihiyu, referring to the Korbanos. Why would I go back to Tiena, where we didn't even hear about the Korbanos? Yeah, but that's not much of an argument, Benanas. Remember, my Nafkamina, what do we care about the specific format of the word? Remember what Tana Devei Rabbi Shmuel says? Even if it's not even the same word, it's still a perfectly good Gzera Shava. Take a look at the Din of Tzoras HaBayit, where the Torah uses the word in one place for Shav HaKohen, and in one case, Uba HaKohen. Now, Shav and Ba are not even the same word, but what he said is, but the idea is the same. You're coming, you're going. I mean, it's the same thing. Shiva, you're coming back, you're coming. It's the same idea, and it's a perfectly kosher Gzera Shava. So the words don't have to be the same exact words. So what's this Benanas insisting you have to have Bedavka exactly the same words? That doesn't make sense. Yes, but that's only Hanimilek. Hecha de leka de damilu. Where do we say, Zui Shiva, Zui Bia? where we don't have an exact match. So then a Gzera Shava can go according to whatever is a general match. But Hecha the Ika the Dummim, you have an exact match, then you always learn the Gzera Shava from the exact match. So then Rabbi Akiva, what does he say about that? Shouldn't we learn Yiyu from Yiyu instead of learning Yiyu from Tiyena and say that it's a reference, Tafka, to the Lechem that would be Ma'akev? Says Rabbi Akiva, there's another issue that you have to take into account. And that is, Danim Davar Shematana LaKohen. Midavar Shematana LaKohen. Look, these two, the Lechem that's in the first pasuk and the Lechem that's in the last pasuk Chof, they are both, like it says, Kodesh LaHashem LaKohen. So these are references to the Shtei Lechem which go to the Kohen. But all the Korbanos stuff we mentioned in Pasuk Yudches, all of that list is referring to Korbanos Eila, not to something that's given in the Kohen. So almost all of those Korbanos are Eilas. Why would we compare them to something that goes to the Kohen? Or I could say another Teretz. And that is, it's an analysis of the actual word in the Pasuk. V'bayitema, v'kro gufeka mifugim. They're arguing about the Pasuk. The pasuk closes in pasuk chav. It closes with kodesh yu la Hashem la kohen. So says Rabbi Akiva, when it says it's given entirely to the kohen, its kedusha is la kohen. What type of thing are we talking about that is given completely to the kohen? None of these karbonas are given completely to the kohen. I mean, their meat might be given to the kohen if they're the zifchei shamed tzibur. But certainly they're not given entirely to the Kohen. The only reference to the Kohen has got to be Havei Omer Zalechem. The Lechem doesn't go on the Mizbeach at all, and it's entirely Mechulak to the Kohenim. So therefore, it's clearly referring to the Lechem. Whereas Benana says, and excuse me, sir, it doesn't say they go entirely to the Kohen. Read the Pasuk. It says, Kodesh Yiyu LaHashem LaKohen. So what does that mean? This is something that partially goes to Hashem and partially goes to the Kohen. Now, what is that? The Lechem? No. The Lechem goes entirely to the Kohen. It doesn't go to Hashem. So, Eze Odover Shemitzato LaHashem or Mitzato LaKohen, that could only be referring to the Kvasim. So, Dafka means what I'm saying. Nah, this is ridiculous. You know, I'll read the post. Miktiv Kodesh Yiyu LaHashem VeLaKohen. If it meant to say split it, it would have said give it to Hashem and the Kohen. But when it says LaHashem LaKohen, that's coming to tell me a din that we know from Ravuna in the sugya of Gezel Hager. And what we learned in that sugya of Gezel Hager is that it says there that in the event that there's nobody to give it to, so then the halacha is Kina'o Hashem, Unetano LaKohen. But it says over there, if you've got the no Yorish, so then it goes LaHashem LaKohen. And that is Kiravuna, the Omer Ravuna, Kina'o Hashem, to give it to the Kohen. How would a Kohen have the right to take something that has no owner, that is Konui by the Tzibur? It's Konui only by a Kodesh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave it to the Kohen. That's the point. So in that case, you're supposed to be paying the money back when you swore that you didn't steal anything. Now you're made on that Shvuah. The normal din of a Kohen, of a Shvuah that you make on Kviras Mamai, is that you have to go ahead and you pay the money to the individual that you stole it from with the asham and so on. But if there's no individual and there's no heir to the individual, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu gets it. What does HaKadosh Baruch Hu do with it? He gives it to the Kohen. So that's what it means over here. Hashem LaKohen means that it goes entirely to the Kohen, says Rabbi Akiva. Okay, we will learn Bezrat Hashem tomorrow about the cases where you already did the tnufa, where you already did the shchita, at that point, what would the relationship be between the lechem and the Carbonettes.